Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about summer bodies. The summer is coming up. We're all thinking about it. So we'll be talking about the science behind calorie counting. Is it a myth, or is there any legitimate studies to support it? We'll also be getting into weightlifting as well as how steroids actually affect your body.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi. How's it going, Mitchell?
Fine.
Oh, whoa.
I'm sleepy and grumpy today.
Oh, tis a Friday, though.
Being honest on a podcast, what do you know?
Being open and vulnerable.
Well, we'll see if we get there.
Oh, my God.
We'll find out. Sometimes the pod breaks me open. We were just talking about Big Brother, and it was the finale of Big Brother Canada last night, and history was made for anyone who hasn't watched it. We had two black men in the finals, one which was gay, epic. One was literally so hot, the straight slash curious. They were in like a romantic relationship the whole season, the straight one slash fluid one, but it was a little bit like strategic manipulative, but I think it was also a little bit
real. This is so horny. That's so hot.
Yeah, they've been like kissing, cuddling, like flirting all season. And then,
kissing even?
Yeah, like not like making out, but like kisses on the cheek and stuff like that. And then like rumors of like fiddling under the sheets, but we're going to find out.
Fiddler on the roof.
I'm going to have to find out about that when I meet them in person to see what
happens. So who won? It's not
Ty won.
Ty.
Oh, yeah. This is now a week later. Probably this is coming out. So yeah. Ty won. I think I'm correct in saying he's the first black winner in all of North America ever, which is pretty fucked
That's
up.
That's absolutely fucked up.
I know.
Wow. Well, I mean.
And in the Canadian one, there's never been a gay winner, so it would have been also amazing even if Brayden won.
Okay, but Brayden and Ty, who would you have preferred to win?
Honestly, either. Out of even the final four, I was happy with anyone, but between the two of them, they both have their different reasons. Like, I think I more in my heart at the end wanted Brayden to win, even if I think Ty probably played a better overall game. But just because Brayden was gay, I was like, oh, it'd just be so cool to have like a gay black winner as well.
So overall, though, this was a good season because you don't usually last the full season.
Sometimes. Oh, yeah. One of the best seasons, for sure.
Of all time or just of Canada?
Of all time.
Of all Big Brother
like,
time.
Yeah. And Big Brother, like, yes. Wow. No, it was a very good season. That doesn't mean it was perfect, but it was just really entertaining from start to finish. It was a pretty messy season. Like, they weren't that good at strategy, which made it, like, more entertaining. So if you want to watch a show and you want to watch 50 episodes of a show, Big Brother season
came. Yeah, every night I'm nine. Like, so Mitch, what's up tonight? He's like, well, Big Brother's on. I'm like, Big Brother's on again? It's like quite the commitment.
It is. So, and it's like, if you watch it binging, it's more annoying because they give so many recaps. It's like actually so obnoxious.
Well, congrats, Ty.
Yeah, congrats. Maybe we'll get him on the pod. No, I'm joking.
Wait, why are you joking? He could come on.
I don't know. I guess you're right. He could. Yeah.
Yeah, he has a hot body. That's kind of what we're talking about today. It's literally summer bodies.
Oh my gosh. We should
he should be on it right
him.
Now.
Okay,
right?
I will say him and another girl on this season, Jed, have the nicest bodies I've ever seen, and I don't understand.
That's the only, like, honestly, like, whenever you're talking about Big Brother, I'm just like, oh, is it one of the hot bodied one? Like, they have the hottest bodies. And whenever I've sort of like come in and out, it's like all I've been able to comment on. I'm like, their body is like sculpted out of a like physiology like textbook when you see this a body without skin.
Yeah. And what makes them extra attractive is like usually the people who have those bodies on Big Brother are not that personally like yeah, but these two guys seem both like really kind and sweet and didn't seem that like toxic masculinity, and the fact that one was like able to play with his sexuality in like a cute way was like interesting.
Okay, well, boners off the top, let's get into what did we learn this week before I cream my shorts.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
That was disgusting. Okay, so I learned about the Ophiocordyceps unilateris fungus.
Oh, wow. I love that.
I'm looking at
no
you.
No idea what
I'm like, imagine you're able to place it. Oh, the Ophiocordyceps unilateris fungus.
I feel like you have to say, oh, is it just some type of mushroom?
Yeah, it's a type of fungus.
Okay, I didn't know if this was like a body part at first.
It's actually...
like,
oh, a body part.
I didn't know if it was like the part of the inner eye. But then when you said fungus.
Oh, yeah, but it could be like, it could have like rhymed like humorous. And you're like, that's a bone.
Right. Exactly.
So this is the famous parasitic fungi that takes over ants. And I think that people may have seen in a variety of documentaries or viral YouTube videos. And I just want to talk about it because I've been learning a lot about fungi and just like understood the details of it. And it freaks me out so much. And I'm just like, it's so cool.
And then like, there's a spoiler in here. You did something really cool about it too. Can I talk about that? Or are you going to talk about that?
Oh, you mean I like painted it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, when you were like spoiler, I was like, did I eat it?
I didn't know if you were going to tell everyone.
No, I wasn't going to tell people, but I painted it, but that's cute.
It's like, really cool.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that you like it. So this is a fungi. Remember that. This is a fungus. The whole time I'm like, this is a fungus. So it infects ants, carpenter ants mainly, takes over their systems, not their brains. Because what scientists have done is like, as soon as it takes it over, cut open the ant to figure out like where the fungus is growing, mm-hmm. not their brains, which they were like, that's so weird.
Okay.
So it takes over. It's essentially where you see the fungus grow the most is over the ant's muscle fiber, kind of like getting into today's episode about mm-hmm. growing the muscle. Mm-hmm. So it takes over mm-hmm. the muscle fibers. It makes the ant like no longer have a fear of heights, which apparently they do, go up to the perfect humidity and the correct temperature for the fungus to proliferate on. For this example, I think it's like between 10 to 50 centimeters above the forest floor. The ant clamps down on the vein of a leaf where the fungus can now spore like more like appropriately. Like it's like where the fungus wants to be. It organizes the ant according to the direction of the sun to also like spore properly. And so when it's biting the leaf, 40% of the ant's biomass is now the fungus before it's even dead.
So it's taken over so much at that point.
So it's taken, well, I don't know, ants. So much or not that much. 40% is like, I'm like, is that a lot? No, it is a lot, but it's like, it's still the ant like going to do this like specific physiological task. Like, I'm just like, I thought it would have affected the brain.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
That part's wild.
Like, it's crazy,
it's
crazy,
just
crazy.
It's like using its machinery.
Yeah, and it just makes you like, I'm just like, what a complicated feat of evolution that is absolutely beautiful, fascinating, and scary. Also, the mushroom is, I mean, there's so many types related to the one that was like harvested for LSD, and it makes me think about shrooms and magic mushrooms. Like,
are they taking over your body in the same way?
They are taking over your body in a way.
Yeah, but it's not the same way.
Oh, of course. Well, like, I mean, like, I'm mean, not like saying that people
or
are going to
mean,
clamp
like,
on
one's
a leaf.
Like digested intentionally and the other is act, like, how does it get in the ant? It must just like infect it through.
Oh, you mean like digested intentionally? Like the person, the human's able to like swallow it.
Hallucinogenic.
Hallucinogenic
effects are like
after it's passed through. It's not like the spores are growing.
Yeah,
in a
true,
human.
True, true.
It's like the byproducts from it are broken down and then infect the brain.
But it's still so interesting because mm-hmm. it's affecting mm-hmm. the ant mm-hmm. and it's affecting the human, and they're all just like fungi. And then we also just eat like random like oyster mushrooms and like nothing so happens. Good. Like it's just so freaking cool. I love mushrooms. I love mushrooms. And so what I learned about was just more the details of that. And yes, I painted it. Go on my Instagram at Whale Watch Me PLZ.
Oh, you posted on Instagram? Oh,
yeah.
I never use Instagram, but then I never know if I
see. No, that's what I mean. I was like, I didn't even know if you'd seen that I had posted.
Well I didn't. I don't use Instagram.
You know, I love a bit of validation on the gram.
Everyone go and like Greg's painting.
My
encourage
very,
him to paint even more.
My very catchy handle that everyone remembers at Whale Watch Me BLZ.
Speaking of loving something, do you love your dog? Because I love mine.
Oh my God.
Great segue. Basically, there was a study that came out that showed that making eye contact with your dog is not only important in improving communication, but it actually increases bonding between your dog. And so they've been like testing and studying the brains of dogs and humans, as well as like hormone releases. And they realized there's an increased level of oxytocin in both the dog and the owner when you give each other eye contact, which ever since I read this, I've been staring at Ernie and I was like, I know you feel great. I know you feel so good.
The tail away.
Yeah. And it's just like that, because he's also so cute. But then I'm like, maybe he thinks we're so cute. That's so cute if he gets like a boost of oxytocin. And then it's like, why is our house shaking? Is there a rocket outside?
Oh, you know, it's just a plane earthquake.
So but there's a couple of factors that affect a dog's like likelihood of making eye contact with its human. The number one factor was its snout size. So I guess like dogs with shorter snouts, it's actually easier and more natural for them to make eye contact because they don't have a giant nose in the way. And so dogs with really long noses actually don't focus in the center as much. But then it also mattered, like younger puppies were more likely to make eye contact. Cooperative breeds or mutts, like mixed breeds, were more likely to make eye contact. And just dogs that were generally more playful were wanting to make eye contact with their owners more often.
Whoa. Okay, so I got to stare down the dang eyeballs of Ernie.
I've always heard that dogs have a hard time with eye contact because it's like a sign of aggression. But maybe that's so different with an owner. Maybe it is true if you don't know a dog and you're staring at it, it would come off as intense.
Oh, true. This is like with
but
your owner.
But your own dog understands and knows like your look. Your gaze is loving.
The male gaze. That's us, spelled G-A-Y-S.
Ernie's gaze are loving.
But I do feel like that's probably why this is like a worthwhile study, because a lot of people don't know that. I think that there's a lot of, you know, information out there about eye contact with dogs and aggression, because that's an important thing to understand. And then this is probably a study that's like, but when it comes to owners, like, it's actually really nice. Like, that's so interesting. And it makes sense because it's like, tis man's best friend. Like, we've evolved around them for so long.
I know. They truly are best friends. I love dogs so much.
They really are. Like, I mean, I never had a dog and I only fell in love with this one because it's new to me, but I do hug them all the time and I'm like, you're my best friend.
And when
like,
he
I
looks
love
at me,
so
I actually get
much.
Like shivers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really, really, really crazy.
And it's wild how effective a dog puppy eyes is. Like, if Ernie wants to be pet, there's times when I'll be like, I'll give him his little pets. And then I'll be like, I need to work now. But then he'll just like stare at me.
Until like, I guess him work more. Can wait.
Yeah, it's wild.
Like, girl, we gotta pay the bills. You want your dog food, honey?
Well, that's it for dogs. Anything else?
Nope. Let's get into how we're going to get ripped for the sum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is sponsored by Squarespace. I know you all love learning and understanding the world, and now it's time to understand web design to make your perfect website. And thank God for Squarespace, because it could not be easier. An all-in-one platform where you can build a website, claim a domain, market a brand, and even sell unlimited products online. They even have analytics where you can gain powerful insights about your site visitors and how they interact with your content, which is great if you're like me and obsessed with every metric you can get your hands on. Squarespace empowers millions of dreamers, makers, and doers by providing them with the tools they need to bring their creative ideas to life. I've said it before, but our own ASAP Science website has been with Squarespace for years. It was so easy to put together. I truly had no experience before making it. You can customize the look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. There's also ready-made templates where you can just drag and drop stuff to make it look pretty, but it's awesome because it's also optimized to look great on any device, including mobile. When you create a website with Squarespace, you get free, unlimited hosting, top-of-the-line security, and dependable resources to help you succeed. Just head to squarespace.com/sidenote for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code SIDENOTE to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/sidenote. You checking out our sponsors helps our show, and we appreciate it a lot.
Study time.
Study time. Study time. Study time.
Okay.
We're getting ripped tonight.
Rip.
RIP that. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know. I realized in that moment halfway through you were doing that thing that's the TikTok thing.
Did you just go rip?
I just thought I would start riffing. I don't know. I just thought you were just saying that and I was just going
to
play along.
I like don't want to get out of this. I obviously want to get out of this pandemic. But like, I don't want to get out of this pandemic and have to experience a bar with TikTok culture, like everyone being like RIP the boozy, and like doing like the like dance, and then just being like, you know what I mean, like the new SZA and Doja Cat song, like everyone's gonna be like, I know nothing, and it's like
but that could be fun. So fun.
Macarena.
It's Macarena vibes. Like if we're at a bar or club when things finally open and a song comes on, and even if I don't know any of the dances, so it's not like I'm gonna join, but to see a bunch of people start doing a dance in sync would be kind of cool.
It's like 13 going on 30, but real life. Wait, do I like that? Let me stop and think about this, because this is my new thing I'm learning about in therapy. I have to be less judgmental. So I'm picturing a bunch of people being like, RIP that boozy, hey, and they're all jacked and they're all bros, and I'm like judging them. But I'm actually like, no, that's beautiful. You're learning to dance.
And they might be a handful space. Of cute little twinks that are just like, you know, they don't have to be jack bros.
Oh, just like, speaking of this bro episode about summer bodies, the RIP that pussy, like that concept. And then you go like, and you like literally wag your dick around. And the people doing it on my feed, at least, look like lunk alert. Like,
well, that says something about you now, doesn't it, Greg?
I know. I hate talking about my TikTok feed because it's like,
everyone's like, that's tailored for you.
Yeah. It's like, you are watching full videos of bros swinging their dicks. Okay.
Okay. So are you going to get a summer body? I'm segueing, moving on. Where do we start here?
That's on my body.
Where do we start with the body?
I love that. Are you, you should say that next time we go to a barista. Are you going to get a summer body? That's such a ridiculous question now that I've said it out loud. Like, are you kidding? Like, we're trying, but I've always tried, and I don't know how successful I get at it, but I always think I have a summer body when the summer comes, because it's the summer and it's
You've
my body.
You've thought of that before? I've never thought of that. I've never ever thought of that ever until this
year. Are you
year.
Serious?
Yeah. I think I become immediately aware when it's summer and I'm like, everyone has a summer body, shit.
wait. But wait.
Because what about when you hear the phrase is like some winter, what is it? Summer bodies made in winter months or something.
Yeah, so you've never thought about this. The summer comes and you just go, oh fuck.
Well, to be honest, I have never been that into fitness for the majority of my life at a level that I really thought about it or put much effort into it. It's not like I would be totally unaware. I'm obviously, once it becomes summer, aware that I will sometimes have my shirt off at a beach or a pool or wherever, and that I become very aware of what people's bodies look like in terms of like insecurities or just like knowing. Mm-hmm. But I personally have never done anything to try to have a summer body until now.
Because, and I will tell you.
Yeah, ooh, I mean, what changed?
I've always had really bad back problems. I've talked about this many times on the podcast. You know, add it to the list of other problems I have, okay? But the back problem thing, I started going to like a fitness clinic or whatever.
R.I.P. Yeah, hey!
To work on it. And so ever since I did that, and it was like, you know, I do exercises and movements and stuff.
You know, exercise.
You know what those things are, right? So anyway, I do those. My back's improved so much. I'm realizing I can't stop exercising because it's so good for my back. But then I got to a point, now I'm kind of finally entering the point where I haven't had a back issue in long enough that I'm like, maybe I just want to push this exercise thing a little further.
So
because
the back issue was the gateway drug to getting into exercise, and this is your first summer coming up where you're really feeling like you're into exercise.
Yeah, because now I've been going there for I think a couple of years. I don't know if you know the timeline.
Yeah,
but the first couple of years I was just focused on just doing movements and exercise that focused on like what do we need to do to help like support my back. Are there weak areas of my legs even that are making me imbalanced? And that's like kind of what this fitness place was focused in. And now that I feel like, not that we've conquered it, that was a lesson I learned, is I'll probably never get rid of it, but I can like minimize the time it takes to recover and how often it happens. That has finally brought me to a place of like, now I go to the gym enough that it feel comfortable. I've always been a scared little gay kid to be in gyms. So I hate honestly, are you not?
I love that. Just like you said that, like it was four words that are always together. Like, you know, I've always been a scared little gay kid scared of gyms or like whatever. It's like as if like that is like, you know, I'm the gay little scared kid
is
scared
it
of gyms.
Not.
That's so, no, I have such a different, I don't want to derail you, like, were you done your point?
Yeah, I'm done my point.
But your point is, like, you just needed a good back to, like, think about going to the gym to get a summer body.
That, and not just the good back, it taught me to feel more safe in a gym space for a long time.
Okay, so that is the point, is the gym space.
Yeah, they've represented sort of toxic masculinity, the fear of being bullied and called the F word and all
for all those that's faggots spelled with an F, not a PH.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't shy away from saying that word on this podcast. At least I don't. But Mitch, I guess, does, because he's a scared little gay boy scared of gym.
And now I'm scared of the algorithm and banning our channel.
Okay, so I have such a different relationship as a scared little gay boy. It's linked in scared little gay boy, but I go to the gym. Like, it's like scared little gay boy who runs to the gym. Okay. And so it's like, I have been learning a lot about, like, because I was gay, I really had to work hard to, like, be resilient, make sure that, like, things... Like, I learned how to, like, really work my life in a way to be the best it could be for me because I was, like, getting called a faggot all the time. So I had to, like, and part of the thing I did was, like, really lean into, like, gym class. Like, literally being, like, I'm going to take gym class all of high school because if I can learn to, like, shoot the shit with the boys in this setting, it's only going to help me, like, protect myself. So
interesting strategy.
Yeah. So it was, like, I actually, like, went in with full force and was, like, I'm confident here. Like, where's the dance unit? I was so upset when I got to high school. I'm, like, only the girls do dance. Homophobic. But, like, I literally was, like, what, we're wrestling? I'm, like, I think that's actually weirdly gayer. Like, like, why am I wrestling my buff gym
terrifying teacher?
If we all were just dancing, I actually could be straighter, boys. I really wish there was TikTok in high school because there probably would have been male gym dance.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So we had the same core issue, but we solved it or tried to solve it.
And I felt like it was like the jocks, like I was really good at badminton. So like, like I would like beat the jocks at badminton and they'd sort of be like, sup bro, like this kid's funny. And like I knew the instinct to leave gym class in grade 9, but to me that almost felt like coming out. Like that was like... That was my vulnerabilities. If I leave gym class, it's like so obvious. Mm. I loved art. I loved science. Right. So I kept gym class to be like, I'm this. And then I eventually just was like, actually, I'm gay.
Oh, I was 100% that meme that's like, you know, it says like theater girls with like a mental health problem. And then it's like queer kids with no friends. And then they're like, do you want to form an alliance? Have you seen that?
Yes.
Like, and I was definitely that. It's like I had no straight boyfriends.
Oh my God. Straight boyfriends. I mean,
that's the dream.
So I guess summer bodies probably mean a lot to a lot of people for longer than Mitch, as he's new to the gym. For me, even though I've been going to the gym a lot, like the concept of a summer body, I'd actually not really thought about in probably the last 3 years. And I think I am like never sure about culture with this, if it's something that just like everyone's talking about more. Mm-hmm. There's obviously like a cultural push for fitness now more than ever. And I think young people, if you're listening, like when I was in university, like, what was considered like hot was like Seth from The OC.
Yeah,
and like there was like this,
it
like
wasn't a jack. It was fit. He was still fit, but he was kind of skinny.
It was like American Apparel skinny, like weird, like the libertines.
And
like,
even us
vibe.
Being, and I don't know if you were as in the emo scene as I was, but the emo scene was also like skinny jeans. Well, it wasn't just to be skinny, but that was like the aesthetic wasn't to be jacked, is what I mean.
Yeah, it was like Ashley Simpson was the pop star. And she was going for like this skinny guy with like this studded belt around his waist. He was like, who like didn't skateboard but looked like he could skateboard and had like long frilly hair. And it was like, it wasn't like a guy who looked like a literal quarterback, which every TikTok star, like Noah Beck and stuff, I'm like, you're weirdly just like a kind of vanilla quarterback.
Yes.
So it's like the trends have changed, and I think maybe the summer body is sort of coming through this like inundation of like the ripped man. Okay. And I guess maybe obviously girls are with us too, but we're talking from our own experience. I feel like what we should talk about today is like, it's the concept of growing muscles. I guess we are really focusing on a guy's perspective right now. It's like growing muscles. And like, what are the other things? You're on a beach. So it's like, are you wanting to be fit, like lose fat, or is it just
I think it's a mix of both. I have some conversations around losing fat, and even if that's not like, even for people who are trying to build muscle at the same time as losing fat, you know, thinking about that. And then I had a couple of studies I want to talk about because there's some just popped out. They weren't necessarily to do with summer bodies, but it was interesting stats about fitness or just health that I wanted to tell you about.
Okay, cool.
But okay, I'm going to tell you one at first because these will be short. I literally had three, but I'll tell you one right now and then you can give me something. Okay. There was a study over 8,000 kids, obviously not concerned about their summer bodies, but between 2 and 19. I think this will make you absolutely lose your mind. They were followed for, I don't know, 6 months or something and tracked what they drank every day. On any given day, one in five American kids in that age don't drink any water at all.
What?
As you just opened your water bottle, that wasn't planned.
My white culture. This is who I am. It's this twist of a Nalgene bottle opening. I'm like plastic in my body immediately.
Isn't that nuts? No water. And so,
no, that's
but the study found that they are instead drinking high sweetened, like sugary drinks. So juices, pops, sports drinks. Instead of water. And then the study was linking that obviously that's associated with like increased calories, and over the long term it adds up to a lot, and just realizing that water's so good for you and like the healthiest drink you can have.
Water's like really good for your life.
Yeah, I just thought it was so interesting. Obviously there's a much bigger conversation, even the study mentioned it, around water insecurity even in the States. There's more and more places where people can't trust their water sources. Yeah. So it's beyond that. But I just was like thinking, oh my gosh, like 20% of kids aren't drinking water some days.
That is so wild. And it does make me realize though, like, we're going to stay on summer bodies. I know this is a side note. It's like the concept of fresh water, like being from Toronto, is so interesting because it's like I never even think about that. Like, obviously water to me is the easiest,
right,
cheapest, most accessible way to hydrate your body if you're thirsty. But I'm like, that's a really striking stat. But I'm like, it just brings to mind so many other issues with the world and how it's like, there's water insecurity in America for sure, which is wild. But B, it's just like, it made me just be like, we're so lucky. Like, we're so lucky to live near a great lake. And just consume it so easily. But that is wild to me because it's like, I don't want to judge people because I'm like, who knows
how. Yeah, you don't know the circumstance. Yeah. But if it's just a matter of like, I think since I've known you, I drink a lot more water because you are so conscious and you always have water with you. I enjoy drinking water, but I just pee it all out.
But yeah, now I'm like, it's so interesting because you're obviously the only person I've really like lived with like for a long period of time. I guess like actually our other roommates, like, yeah, like Brian, I feel like Brian would always chug a big thing of water. Like I feel like, am I weird for always having water on me?
Or I don't know if it's weird.
Are you weird for not having drinking water until you met me?
I think I did not drink water.
There was this time when we met where you were like, it's just so weird. You just like got a glass of water. You like enjoy it. And I'm like, yeah, wait, like you, like there was
these kids probably drinking juice.
Okay, wait. So what is that? How, is that just a stat you had? It doesn't have to link to summer bodies.
Yeah, it's not linked to summer bodies. It was just linked to like fitness and realizing that they were calculating like the difference of even if it was like 100 or 200 calories extra a day over the course of months, like that can add up to a lot of it consumed, you know, sugar. Like that was not good.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing I'll say about summer bodies, and this is something that people will either want to hear or not, which is that so much of how your muscles are put forth to thine on the beach is like your genetics. It's like, I always forget about that. Like it's, I always assume if I work out, well, I know that, well, that's under the assumption that you and I think we have bad quote unquote genetics to build muscle if we want muscle.
Well, I think, I don't even know if I think
so
that.
So why do you, what do you mean?
Annoying? I just think it's one of those frustrating things where, and everyone does this, you look at different people and see your favorite parts of them or their bodies or their lives, and you pick and choose, and then you realize you can't get all those things, but you don't acknowledge that they also probably can't get all the things. Like, there's people who look and have perfect abs too, but you're not realizing that their biceps aren't as big.
Yeah, they're like, the myostatin in my pecs doesn't work.
So it's definitely just something I think a lot of people are aware of, where you go, oh, well, my genetics is just so annoying. I'm working so hard.
Well, also, I think that's an interesting thing in life to think about. It's like you can idolize certain parts of people's lives, but always remember if you're idolizing that, you should try and think of their whole life and be like, do you idolize all of it? Because there's so many amazing things in this life that come with sacrifice. And like that's even just like a mental activity that's good. But okay, so when it comes to your genetics, I just want to talk a little bit about myostatin literally and sort of how it differentiates from a scientific point of view. So every time you lift weight, your muscles receive damage, which is like I kind of always forget about. I'm always like, oh yeah, I'm like ripping them open like for some weird reason, like alone in my basement listening to like a self-help podcast, like okay, what is happening? That's a man cave. But the body recovers by forming new muscle protein strands, which like repair it. And then over time, that was what literally increases the strand of the muscle in your body biologically. Mm-hmm. And if growth outweighs breakdown, then they grow.
Right.
And so like muscle size in everyone has a limit, which is controlled by myostatin, which is a protein that you would learn about in like kinesiology. It's actually like a really cool protein. It's like very interesting protein. It's like, I'm not going to go into it, but it's like actually really cool. But it like puts a little bit of a limit on everyone's body to help so that you don't like just, for example, keep working out and then all of a sudden you're like not balanced because like you're literally
immobile,
like you're immobile because you're like so right bicep so big. And then it's like, well, now if you're put in a real situation where you actually have to like help like run from like a boar or something, you're falling over. So it's like for all those lunk alerts who are trying to get so big, and I want to talk about steroids later, it's like you're playing with your physiology to like be the most efficient you. And so some people have what it is a genetic differentiation in the myostatin. So they'll limit how big their muscles can get. And that's where maybe some envy can come. And then it's also a like grade 11 biology thing about, do you remember the like Belgian blue cow that you always learn about?
Yeah. So they have some mutation in their myostatin gene?
Yeah, they have it. Exactly. They have a deletion in their GDF8 gene, which means they're these genetically modified cows. If you look at photos of them, they're like these like beefcake bros.
They're
like,
jacked.
Yo, they're like sweat up pussy hoe. Yeah. Like they're so jacked and they don't produce myostatin. So their muscles just grow and grow and grow. So myostatin is a protein that actually helps you keep your muscles at an appropriate size for your body. But that's why some people, there's differentiations in that specific protein, which is why it can lead to some people actually will get bigger muscles more easily than other people. But anyways, I love the freaking Belgian blue cow. Like, look it up. It's hilarious.
Look it up. It's so cool.
Do you want me to talk about steroids now, or do I want to go into yours? I want to go to another one of yours.
Okay. Sure. Well, I was going to bring up something. Okay. Well, why don't we talk about ourselves for a little bit? Because this is our podcast.
And we are having to be vulnerable about bodies.
So, yeah. What I'm going to bring up is related to the next thing I'll talk about. So, you know, over the last little bit, we were kind of like, we bought a scale. We've never owned a scale, and it has ruined my life. We got it today, and I am much heavier than I thought I was, which I know is silly. Like, I actually don't know what weight I should even be, but I've just my parents used to have a scale growing up, and so I have this like weight in my mind because, you know, every time I'd go back to my parents, I'd just like step on it when I'm in a bathroom. But I haven't been there in years, thank you pandemic, so I haven't been really known, and I'm just like, I think I'm much heavier than I was, and that like kind of freaked me out. And so even before this, I've just been feeling like since the pandemic, I've been eating a lot more, sitting around doing nothing. Like, we've been eating edibles all the time, so I'm always hungry. Just like, okay, I probably gained weight. So I've been trying to be like, hey, I want to just like think about my diet. Okay, I started counting my calories, and I don't know if that's good or not. And what do you think about that?
Wow, throwing it over to me.
Well, I'm just like, you're being so quiet.
No, I'm finding it's just interesting. I think it's a cool perspective to just hear what the way you're articulating, the way your brain thinks around these subjects, which everyone thinks about, but I think isn't talked about a lot. So I just found that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's weird because I've never really thought about the specific amount of calories I eat on it.
Me neither.
On a daily basis. And that's a privilege and lucky that I've just grown up in a way where, you know, I've eaten the food I've eaten and I have had relatively stable weight and I haven't had to worry about that much. But obviously over the pandemic and all these things, I've just, I guess, become more aware of it. And because I've been working out more at the gym, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, do I need to eat more or eat less? And this was like a big problem in my brain for a long time. I didn't know, what am I at? Like, should I be eating more or should I be eating less? It was a really weird, I want bigger muscles, but I don't know. I was just confused. So I was started by just being like, you know what? I will just count my calories to like learn, to understand what are the things I'm eating. We've now been vegetarian for like a year, right? Yeah. We had that anniversary recently. And I realized I don't even know how much protein I take in a day. I've never counted it ever in my life. How much should I take in all these things? By the way, they say like 1 gram per pound of body weight.
Who says that? Who's that?
This is like generally accepted, but they say like between 0.6 to 1. And this may be for people who are working out actively.
Yeah.
But like every fitness video I watch. So, and many of them are citing studies and showing that that's like where your optimal growth will be. So if you're working out.
Which is good if they're talking about it outside of steroids, which I'll get to later. Like, so they're talking about like biology and eating, like to grow your muscles naturally through food, 0.6 to 1 gram per body weight of protein will per day.
Per pound of body weight. Per pound of body weight. So per kilogram, I don't really know what that was, but like 2 point something. But all that to say, I started slowly looking into like calorie counting before this podcast, and mostly ubiquitously, like, I mean, a lot of fitness people recommend these different calorie deficits that can help you focus on things. But most studies do show that calorie counting just doesn't work in terms of dieting. So obviously, whether you're trying to be super fit or whether you want to lose lots of weight, that's not to say it can't be a part of your strategy, but most calorie counting strict calorie counting deficits like are not that sustainable for people. You can lose weight with them, but studies show like most people rebound from them because it puts all these strict ideas on you, and you starve yourself, and then you cave because you're absolutely so hungry, or you're missing jumping from like 0 to 100, and suddenly you don't have nearly as much salt or fat or all these things that like would your cravings will want. And then I came across this Dr. Jason Fung, who talks about it. It's like pretty well known and renowned, talking about diets and cancer. He's like a doctor. He talks about lots of different things. And opened my eyes to something that I was fairly convinced, and a lot of people are, calories in, calories out. Like, there's that calories basic in. Theory of, you burn more calories than you eat, you should lose weight.
Okay.
And he's like, that is not true. And I was like, I don't understand how that can't be true, because obviously there's just like, oh, it's just simple math is kind of the way it comes down to. And basically he described it, and he used a study to illustrate this, but the foods you eat matter so much because they also define what your body will do with it. They trigger different hormones in your body. Not every food is made equal.
Hmm.
And so the study they did is they took type 2 diabetics and gave them certain amounts of insulin and increased it over 6 months.
Hmm.
I don't know how to calculate like the numbers, but he said he was like, it was a lot of insulin to give them by the end of the 6 months. And the whole time they were on a calorie restricted diet of minus 300 calories.
Okay.
At the end of the program, the average weight they gained was 20 pounds on a calorie-restricted diet.
Oh, wow.
So his point was, because of the increased insulin, it was telling their bodies, insulin, like, informs your body that you should be, like, saving energy and storing it. It basically helps your body store fat. So you, if you're eating really hot foods that spike that insulin, that's why you hear about, like, high glycemic index, refined, or what do you say, like processed foods often spike that and spike insulin, and that's why they're more likely to cause you to store fat. And so that was just like one interesting example for me to realize that just being in a calorie deficit, that's not to say that there aren't healthy ways to be in a calorie deficit and lose weight or lose fat and like tone your body, but it was just a nice reminder that that is not so simple as just an equation. It matters the actual foods you're taking in. You know, people sometimes talk about carbs being the devil, but he was like, you know, carbs are not all made equally. Like a bean, eating lots of beans doesn't trigger the same insulin release as eating sugar or drinking juice or, you know, like your body responds and releases, they trigger different hormones. And so for me, I thought that was something I never really knew about. Obviously, it still leans into sort of what you would expect, like eating whole foods, healthy foods is obviously going to help you lose weight. You know, doing exercise and not overeating is all like part of the equation, but just to like not throw that out there as like a blanket.
That being calorie counting.
Yeah. And his argument was like, sometimes when you, if you cut 500 calories a day, your body might start, its basal metabolic rate will stop using as much. Then you'll be tired because your body's like, well, I'm not going to waste this energy on heating myself. Oh, God, it's so complicated.
So it
isn't just so simple. Anyway, I know that was kind of a long rant to explain all that. I hope it made sense.
No, it made sense. Like, I was following along. Like, I
was it interesting?
Yeah. It was saying that, like, calorie counting, which I think is something that a lot of people can relate to. I think it's probably a lot of people's, like, if they ever try something that's a go-to concept, that it's, like, more deep. It's just because it's all rooted in nutrition and science and a complex body that we all have, that like it's pretty fair to say if there's ever a simple solution, it's not gonna true. Be
yeah.
or I don't think not true, but it's gonna be more nuanced than you can imagine. Like I think that's why this is all so complicated and why even like the concept of a summer body is so fraught. It's actually like a bad concept for society because it's like it means so many things, different things to different people, and it's pretty damaging. And I think like I do think that I am someone who is like trepidatious about all of these things. I feel like I've had a good sort of like mental health around like eating. Like, I don't think I've ever experienced disordered eating or like huge issues with like self-esteem or something. That like also a lot of these things are so rooted in like a lot of like, you know, like mental health disorders that I'm like, when I think about counting calories and stuff like that, like I'm scared of it. Like, I think we've talked about this before. Like I when I think about coming to the summer coming up, it's like I always am just like, okay, Greg, like do your best. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do think about it, which is like obviously kind of weird, but I just feel
like, and I think
like
your instinct is to like run more. You get more active. And it's easier in the summer to be biking around the city and going.
But I'm
on
not
walks.
Like not aware that I'm gonna have to be in a bathing suit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. It's like, and then there's so much stuff there too, where it's like when you think about like fat phobia and all these things, it's like I'm always picturing myself going to like a gay place where there's like so many like jacked people, actually probably a lot of steroids, which I'm going to get into, which is like, maybe I'm just judging people, but like, it's pretty insane. Like, gay people are like, when it comes to body image, like it's really intense. Like, there's so much fat phobia.
Yeah.
And then I also do this thing where I'm like, I spent so long, not so long, but thinking about a summer body, I get into the space. And then I'm like, all these people with these crazy jacked bodies are like very unattractive to me. Like, and I like, and you kind of have made fun of me as if I'm kidding. Not like I'm kidding, but you've been like, I think once like mentioned that it's like, maybe I'm like forcing it. Cause I'm like trying to be like, I'm against
not in that instance.
Oh, okay.
Have I?
Maybe not you. But I feel like sometimes it's like when I get in those spaces, I talk about it a lot. I'm like,
I think
it's blending together and like, I'm more turned on by like alternative bodies and like, that's not a bad thing. But like before I got here, I was assuming and like Instagram made me want to look a certain way and try. And then I get there and I go like, oh my God, like actually all these CrossFit people look the same and I'm not attracted. I'm literally not attracted to it. And I'd get confused sometimes about like what this whole idea is.
Yeah, maybe I would say you do take it to the flip extreme. What I would say happens to me is I get there and I realize like the body itself is not the only factor of someone's attractiveness. Yeah. Yes, I might see someone with a nice body and find them attractive. Yes, I might see someone who's really skinny or really big and find them attractive and everything in between.
That's like, why it's like work out, but make sure you're reading books as much as you're working out. You gotta be smart. You gotta right. be fine. You gotta chat.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like, there, yes, I think there's this weird thing that at least so happens in my mind of a double standard of being like, of course, like I love and accept all body types, but then you're like, but I still want to mine to be.
Yeah, and you even like said earlier, you're like, you got panicked when your scale said you weighed more, and it's like, why is that? That's not a bad thing.
No, you're
that
right.
could be I muscle know. Like mm-hmm. like sometimes I, like that's another thing I play with sometimes is like I've definitely like gained and lost weight, but whenever I've gained weight I've always been like, oh, it's like maybe I'm more jacked. Like I don't know, I just like I'm like no, it's just fair. It's that's just true. Your weight in pounds, like I feel like there's a lot of like pressure from society that's like make like, you know what I mean? I hope you don't realize that if you have gained weight, so, you look amazing and that's amazing and it shouldn't make you sad.
Yeah, I how do I say this? I think just in general, I'm a more anxiety-ridden person than you are. And so for me to know that I have had a relatively stable weight number and then that changed just kind of spooks me.
Oh, I see. It's like throwing you off.
It's like a level of control to be like, oh, wait, like is something changing? Obviously, I'm aging. Obviously, we've been in a pandemic. And it just was like, oh, shoot, has something gone out? I've never really had to think about this. Suddenly, I weigh more.
It's so weird because it's like now that I'm thinking about that as a concept, summer bodies, all this pressure has completely fucked our ability to just like add stepping on a scale to weigh your biology mass to just be as significant as just like any other part of our life. Like think about it. You're getting on a scale and you're just weighing how much your literal mass is. It's a biological concept about just like how much gravity you're, like, right. you're inserting yeah. because of just like whatever's happening to you. Then there's other things like you brush your teeth to take care of the fluoride in your teeth and like no one's like, I guess some people are judging about teeth, but it's like, it just feels like there's so much more on this on like weight, weird, simple yeah. act, which is just weight mm-hmm. that has been put into us from like, probably like our parents, culture, just like yeah. everything bleeding in. And it's kind of actually just like a very simple biological thing that just gives you some information. Like it's sad how much weight yeah, we've put
I
on
I mean,
it.
It's ironic to think that it's because it's from the outside. People see it, right? Whereas like you watch everyone drinking and smoking.
Exactly.
And you're like, that's like literally killing
you. Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's like exactly. Like that's so interesting. Or like, yeah, like me, I like have like four beers and then I kind of start talking weird. It's like, well, that's also really weird. Like, but I'm not like ashamed or like, it's like, yeah. I don't know. Maybe I am. Like there's just, there's something about weight that just feels like it gets way too much weight, LOL, mm-hmm. literally, mm-hmm. in our lives when it's just a simple thing telling us information about our bodies at the moment.
Yeah, it's just kind of one factor. I am so curious about
steroids. Oh my gosh.
Because
okay.
I find it fascinating. I don't yeah. really know that much about steroids.
So like this is a scientific, very baseline scientific look at what steroids do to your body. Cause I was just really curious because when I thought about summer bodies, I just thought of gay spaces. And sometimes when I go and see these really jacked guys, I just think like, hey, they're gonna be steroids, right? Like sometimes
like,
there's
how else could you be like looking yeah. at that?
And there's a like visible acne on people's like backs and faces and stuff where I'm like, you also are like 35 and a like a side effect of
right. Which is not steroids, to say they have
exactly.
to have steroids.
No, no, but, exactly. But I'm like, there are just sometimes moments where I'm just like a little bit like stone and I'm like detective, like me, yeah. all biological detective. I'm like, well, there's acne and he looks like the blue Belgian cow. So over 3 million Americans have used performance enhancing steroids. So it's a lot more common than I thought. And then I read a study of like one of those like, I forget what gym it was in America, but like Barry's equivalent, like Epic Gym, where they studied people and 15% of people at the time were using steroids in the gym.
When they asked?
They were doing like, it was like a type of study where they were asking people to fill out. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of people could have maybe not partaken, but I was like, that's just like way high. Like when I'm at the gym and think someone's on steroids, it's like once, if back when I was going to the gym, like once a month. Like right, nobody's thinking 15% of the people there.
Yeah, that's true. So well, sometimes I am like when I see people that jacked, because I guess people have pointed out to me, especially because we kind of work a little bit in this entertainment industry and we have other friends who have kind of pointed out, you know, when you see someone that looks like that, they're probably on steroids.
Actually, it's a conversation that gets talked about a lot more when you go to LA.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Like, because we've had to go to LA for our work. It's like the first time people were like, yeah, well, they're obviously on steroids. And I'm like, wait, what? That's an option? And then I like look around and I'm like,
people seem to know what a steroid body looks like, yeah. Whereas I don't have a baseline for how far someone can push their body without steroids.
And people in LA are actually trying to optimize their bodies for their careers. Mm-hmm. And so you like meet people who are like, well, obviously, like they'll almost be like, well, I'm obviously on steroids. And I'm like, yeah. I didn't know that was an obvious. But like in LA, it's more obvious because it's like, well, yeah, I'm trying to be in a Marvel film or something like that. And you're like, oh, yeah, true. That's like what you're actually doing.
Yeah.
So steroid is like a term that can be defined from organic chemistry as like a four-carbon ring structure. So estrogen is a steroid. Testosterone is a steroid. And you can get steroids for treatments of fever. Like when I had mono for the second time and they were like, that's weird. You shouldn't get it for a second time. They gave me steroids because I was really sick. And so what that is actually doing these performance enhancing ones is mimicking testosterone. Okay. So testosterone is not the same as myostatin, but you can think of it similarly in the sense that it controls how big your muscles can get. Okay. So literally when you're taking steroids, you're essentially giving yourself injections of specific types of testosterone that are going to go into your body and physiologically help you build your muscles to be bigger, mm-hmm. and also to break down fat. And you will be able to get bigger muscles than you could naturally, based on this unnatural amount of testosterone that you inject into yourself.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And what I will say for anyone using steroids is that this actually goes, the specific steroid easily goes into your cell. Then it goes to androgen receptors, which go into your nucleus. It changes your DNA's ability to create the testosterone. I'm like, that is more intense than an mRNA vaccine. So if you are going and you are taking steroids, Joe Rogan, and you are then becoming a bit more anti-vaxxer vibes, it's like, well, steroids are way more effective in the sense that they actually affect your DNA, whereas mRNA vaccines stay in your cytoplasm. That's just my little Joe Rogan thing, because I'm like, he's definitely like probably on steroids and he's certainly like weird about vaccines, but he'll do like weird, like fucking crazy ass stem cell, like fucking advertising on his fucked up podcast. Okay. Wow.
We don't need to go there.
Wait, no, we don't always have to shy away from Joe Rogan.
No, I just don't. We don't need to like fight over it. Like I'm not going to fight. Not us. I mean, it's just like triggering and I don't need to talk.
Imagine it cut to an Acast thing that was like, this is brought to you by Joe Rogan. Like, I think.
No, sorry. I didn't mean to dismiss you. I'm more.
No, Joe Rogan's very polarizing. We all
know he's just annoying.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's just going to make me angry to talk about him.
Okay. I'm like, I'm getting roid rage. So that's the thing. You can get roid rage. It does shrink your balls physiologically because of, it makes your sperm less able to swim forward. It makes your sperm counts decrease and it makes you more infertile, have erectile dysfunction because you're playing with your hormones. And so it is a very dangerous drug. And a lot of people actually, the way you get bigger muscles is you go on and off of it. So when you're off of it, it's like really damaging for anything to do with fertility or being able to get an erection or something like that. It's kind of crazy. And there's a lot of acne issues that come with it and a lot of disease, cardiovascular disease, some neurological disorders. So it's like a very serious drug that the only benefits are your muscles like physically looking bigger, that it's a pretty intense thing to do to your body.
It's not the only, people perform higher levels when they take steroids.
Oh, sorry. I mean, okay.
Like a lot of athletes
It's still a performance. Like it's not something that's actually like.
What I mean is if like there are Olympians that have been caught taking steroids and they're not doing it to look better. They're doing it to win.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, wow.
So
I was thinking about summer bodies and was actually like, sorry,
I think
I was
steroids
like, wait,
were
okay.
probably first introduced into like, I mean, I'm just kind of making this up, but I assume there was the pressure and money to help people win competitive sports, right?
As opposed to just looking good. Oh my God, I was only thinking of this as like lunks getting bigger at a gym. And so when I was doing all this research about steroids, mm-hmm. I was just picturing that, but it's like, okay, that's true. I guess then it's like,
It's helping, you know, your muscles perform at higher levels, whether you're racing, whether you're lifting, whether you're whatever, a lot of people take it because it gives them an edge. And then you watch these documentaries and you find out even though people are banning or steroids are banned, there's always these new ways that they're kind of optimizing their bodies until an organization decides like that's technically cheating.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's crazy. So then. You're doing that at the sacrifice, for example, of your balls.
Sure. And honestly.
And at your ability to have like mental stability.
It makes sense to me when you're a high level athlete who wants, not. I don't mean in the sense of cheating. I just mean, it makes sense.
You're like, I have a big ass long tiny balls.
If you were like, your whole life goal was to be the best at one particular thing, I can understand being like, okay, how can I optimize my body? Yeah. What is the risk assessment? Because to be honest, pushing your body that far is not necessarily healthy to begin with, even if you're not taking steroids, right?
Yeah,
even like putting your, and it's an amazing feat. That doesn't mean it's not like mind or jaw dropping and just like shocking to see an athlete push their body. It doesn't mean it's healthy. It doesn't mean they won't have like serious issues when they're older. And so in that case, you're like, okay, well, they're not doing it to be healthy either. Like someone who's trying to lift 7,000 pounds, whatever the hell you can lift, is doing it because they want to like push boundaries of the human body.
Oh my gosh, steroids are so weird then. Because it's like, yeah, like that's just like another one of the many sacrifices you have to make as an athlete, like that to your life. Like honestly, whenever I hear about athletes' lives, like especially like extreme ones, I'm just like, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it's really intense. So much commitment, honestly.
And then the sacrifice, for example, of roid rage, and they found that people were a lot more manic and depressed when they were on steroids. But if you're some crazy athlete, you're probably manic and depressed also because you're like working, you know what I mean? Like you're never seeing your family. You're getting up every day. You're doing all the sacrifices. It's like, you probably don't know where the steroid symptoms and just this intense, really challenging life start and end that you'd get into it more easily. Cause you're like, well, it might not be the steroids. It could also be because I never see my friends.
I mean, I would hope at that level of athletic performance, there would be programs around managing and mitigating the negative effects.
Yeah.
Whereas people who just take them casually don't have a support system. But if you're an Olympian, you probably have people who are testing your body every day. Obviously, having depressive episodes is not useful in terms of training. So they probably work around, like, how do you manage those symptoms if you're going to take steroids? Blah, blah, blah.
Either way, I will never be doing steroids. It sounds scary AF.
Yeah.
And I think I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, which is just like when the summer comes, I go, I'm going to do my best. And I don't even know what best means because then sometimes I'm like,
just do whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I think I've grown, and because of my little gay little boy scared of gyms attitude, I've kind of conditioned myself to judge people who care a lot about it, but I've slowly been able to think, you know what, if that makes someone feel good to push their body, that's fine.
Yeah,
I think that's interesting. And I think it's been easier for me to accept in a pandemic when I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is something. It's something to hold on to and feel like there's improvement.
What is? What's the meaning?
Working out. Oh, working out and like slowly increasing weights over time and seeing, oh my gosh, like I couldn't lift this before.
Yeah.
Is a way to feel progress when, you know, especially now, there's no progress anywhere else because we're just doing the same thing every week.
Yeah, I'm like, so when I think about sort of now the summer's coming, like I do Just Dance in my basement more. And I'm like, it actually is like something that makes me also kind of in that way. I'm like, I get very happy because physiologically dancing is really good for your body. It's really hard for your brain to be sad when you're dancing.
True.
And then it's also just like a really like tangible thing that you can get better at. Like mine's a little weird because it ends with me being like, and again, and like slamming my hand like into the air and being like, it's like I am at the end of it being like, and I don't know, it's probably gonna help my body.
Oh, for sure. Dancing's certainly one of the best exercises, I would think.
Yeah,
and it's coordination, it's cardio, it's like happiness and singing and moving. I don't know.
And also summer bodies are so beautiful of all shape sizes from everyone because everyone's like happier and like sun-kissed and like, you know what I mean? I'm like, my summer body is also great because I'm like actually like going outside and like hanging out with my friends and then being like, whoa, like the buds are bursting forth with leaves. You know what I mean? Like you're just like so like, everyone's sexier.
It is such a weird difference, especially for people who don't live in cold climates. The difference we go through when we're in winter and the amount of layers, like you don't even see your own body.
Oh my God, I look, okay, picture an uncooked chicken at a butcher. You know, that skin that's like gross and you're like, well, I can't wait to season that and cook that because that looks disgusting. That like uncooked skin is like my skin in winter. I'm like not kidding. There are some times where I'm like, this is an uncooked chicken. So like, I need to cook myself a bit because like this looks disgusting. And some people might not relate to that because they're like, they're white people who don't live in these like crazy Toronto places. Don't have to
wear 7,000 layers and hide in the winter.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. So I think that summer bodies, they're just, everyone's going to look better in the summer.
I think I'd like to spend the last little bit of this pod just reiterating what you're saying. Like, as much as I want to sort of slowly push myself and get stronger, there's also part of me that wants to learn how to just accept the way things yeah. are a little better. And I know that's also a big conversation that's been happening around the world in terms of body positivity and just like learning to accept where you're at, not just with regards to your body, but
mentality. No, that's like life, right? Like that's like almost like a shift that's happening in culture around the world, or maybe just for us, I'll say the Western world, about life, like mm-hmm. being able to appreciate what's happening in the moment is like weirdly the most important thing that you just keep hearing everyone tell you from so many different yeah. facets of like psychology and science. It's like, so I think it's another example of that. And I think it's really hard for a lot of people. And like, yeah, I think it also everyone needs to be careful with how intense this is yeah. for everyone, that I don't think it should be like tread lightly when it comes to, you know, even stepping on a scale and just remembering there's so much weight put on this thing yeah. and it's really unfair. And so for me, it's like, if you want to turn me on, girl, you got to be at a bar, you got to look kind of cool and different, and you got to have read a book about fungi. You know what I mean? It's just like, when I sometimes talk to these super hot people, I'm like, whoa, now I see why you're at the gym, because you're trying yeah. to make up for something else. It's called a personality. And I'm not, I know I'm really judgmental. So, damn it. I'm like, damn it, was that judgmental? But I love swear.
We just like, and to learn to accept, and you're like, these fucking dumbasses.
No, okay, I'm just saying. A lot of really hot people, sometimes they talk and what's coming out of their mouth isn't as hot as thine pecs. Sure.
And that's either end of the spectrum. Yes. It goes in every space. Anyone who's really extreme in one way has got to prove themselves in the other ways.
But I do think that having muscles is a red flag. Like being muscular is like being Australian. It's a red flag. You got to prove to me.
The other day, I was
a bit of chat.
A lot of Australian people listen to our podcast. I was looking at the back end analytics and I was like, oh my God.
No. I did an ongoing inside joke between me and Melbourne, right? For those listening, because I honestly get so many messages and I feel so bad for these like adorable Australians. Like some are really funny where they're like, haha, no, but like for real, we're not all that bad. Like I love your podcast and like I hate Joe Rogan or something like that, but then some people are actually like not in on the joke and they're like, it's really mean and you should stop. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I should stop. Okay,
we love all of our Australian listeners.
I can't even do
it. We started listening to Chris Lilly's podcast. Is that his name? Jemais podcast.
Oh, yeah, Jemais podcast.
He's Australian, so we support Australia. I mean, he's kind of problematic a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And aren't all your drag queens racist from like RuPaul's Drag Race? I'm just like, Australia, you're trying to do some like public image work here. It ain't working when you're like, all of the queens are racist, apparently.
I haven't watched, but I've heard that. Okay. I appreciate you. I hope you know Greg does too deep down and you can prove to us one day that you're not red flags. Thanks for listening. I'm sure there's lots of thoughts about fitness and that we haven't touched on. So many studies. It's such a huge space and field. Obviously, we've only kind of cracked the surface of our personal experience and just a couple of studies. I am curious what everyone else thinks. And just like relationships to fitness. And because you've even brought up like it sometimes can feel like a slippery slope. And I agree. Like I've never thought about fitness that much. And now I'm starting to. And I do have those moments where I'm like, oh, should I? Like, is this going to be hard to reverse one day when I don't want to care about it anymore? Mm. You know? So I'm curious how other people like manage that, like wanting to stay healthy, but not wanting to get so sucked in that it consumes you in an unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening.
#SignUpPodcast. Subscribe. #SignUpPodcast. And well, you'll hear from us next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.